This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Many, many years ago, I'm doing my summer stock thing. I'm in New Hampshire at the Weather Vane, which is a long-standing summer stock in Whitefield, New Hampshire. And we used to perform in, it sort of looks like an old barn, essentially. It's a legit theater. And I get to the theater one night to do Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I'm the female lead. And we get there and there's no electricity in the barn, none. And it's a barn, so there's lots of open windows kind of on the side that they close to make it dark so they can put the lights on the stage. And so while stage management is trying to run around figuring like, how can we actually do this show without any electricity, which was fairly possible. They pulled cars up to shine headlights, open the window, shine headlights in. And they thought, okay, maybe we could do this. What they didn't think about was the actors backstage getting ready, because we're backstage in the back of a barn that was turned into dressing rooms with burlap doors. But that was the doors to our dressing room. And so it's extremely dark. There's no light whatsoever. And I got some poor, lovely intern at the theater to come and shine a flashlight on me, like a real flashlight, because this is before cell phones. So we had to find a real flashlight. So she's shining it on the mirror and on my face and on my makeup and me trying to put it together. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I have never done anything like this whatsoever. As luck would have it, right before the show, the electricity comes on. All is well. The audience doesn't know anything that happened. And they just thought the show was delightful, which it was. If you've never seen Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, it's fun. It's family friendly. Audience loved it. And I share that story with you today because most of the event disasters, the audience doesn't know. They don't see it. It's the chaos that happens behind the scenes, behind the burlap door when the electricity goes out and you're trying to get cars lined up to light a stage. And my guest knows a lot about that, about the disasters that happen behind the scenes that the audience never sees. And I'm so excited to speak with today on Speaking of Events, the president and chief revenue officer at Lasso, our very special guest, Angela Alea. Welcome to Speaking of Events.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love your story. Therein lies the difference between live events and TV and film, right? There's no do-overs. It's the show must go on. I love it.
That is so true. The show must go on. You know a lot about that, and I'm excited to talk about it. We're going to kick things off with the question I ask all my guests on Speaking of Events, which is, Angela, what's the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
There's a lot I wish they knew, but if I had to boil it down to one thing, I think it's an appreciation for what it takes to create these amazing experiences that all of us get to consume. You know, it's very different when you're a consumer of these events. You go to an NFL game, your favorite music artist concert, a corporate event, a show on Broadway, a festival. I mean, there's so many different types of events out there. We show up, we pay our money, we're entertained, we have a great time, we learn something, and then we go home. We have no idea. I didn't have any idea till I joined this industry on what happens behind the curtain, what happens days, weeks leading up to it, the logistical nightmare. You know, the calmest part of any show is during the show. It's the best part because everyone can take a sigh of relief. The prep work's been done. If anything were going to come apart, it would have done it during, you know, the load in or setting it up or getting ready for it, the rehearsals. And the show, that's when it's time to sit back and enjoy and watch it. And as consumers, that's all we see. And so I wish more people understood really what all it takes and with the amount of few resources they have to do it, because our industry is so underserved when it comes to good tools, good investments. So these companies, these event companies, just continue to pull off these amazing experiences with very little there to support them. And so it's really fascinating. So my hope is people have a better appreciation, which I think they are starting to after COVID. I think people all missed the entertainment value of connecting with people, being entertained, showing up with your colleagues and peers and friends to do fun things. So thus the pent-up demand that I think we are all experiencing right now.
Yes, absolutely. Pent-up demand is correct. And you touched on what I wanted to talk about, which was that we have less people supporting the industry. You had shared a stat with me I thought was fascinating, that 38% of the industry left because of COVID.
Yep.
Would you talk about that and talk about how do we get more people interested in this career? And this is something I've talked to a lot of people about in different facets of events. How do we get more people interested? How do we ingratiate this next generation into the industry?
Yeah, that's such it. I spend probably too much time thinking about this, but it is such, the world would not be what it is without events and entertainment. It's just so core. And I think we take it for granted, you know, and an event doesn't have to be a massive thing. It could be a half marathon you do with your friends. That's an event, right? It's a wedding. It's a graduation. It's so many things. It's not just these massive things. And it's a pretty crippling statistic. 38% left the industry. I mean, let's face it. All of us are in this industry. We were the very first to shut down. On the Lasso platform, we had the insight to see, because all of our customers are the event companies, we could see on our platform their events were canceling left and right. So we saw it coming. But we were the first to shut down and the very last to come back. And that is really crippling as an industry, especially when our industry didn't receive federal aid. You know, companies received PPP money, thank God, because I'm not sure we would have an industry right now if that didn't exist. And that's a scary thought. But the reality is our industry still missed out on a substantial amount of federal dollars, because I don't think, you know, again, we're not on the radar. We don't do a good job advertising how great we are, how important we are, how much we add to the economy and to the cities where, you know, we're pumping in money to do these events with attendees. And so I think we as an industry need to do a better job really promoting ourselves and what we do and the importance of it for business and for people personally. It plays such a big role. So when 38% of the industry left, it's crippling, because events are back now and they are back in full force. And when you've got more demand, more events to produce with 38% less people and less gear. Gear was not being manufactured. There was no R&D.
Right.
There was none of that, right?
You're right.
And so, you know, that's in high demand too. And so, you know, these companies are being tasked to do more with less resources, less people, fewer budgets, because I think a lot of these companies aren't educated on what it means to do a hybrid event. My hope is at some point we can just call them events, right? They're going to have a live component and a virtual. They're just called an event. But understanding that that takes more budget to reach a bigger audience, you know, and I think there's so much education and so much catching up as an industry that we need to do now that we've kind of got our footing on solid ground again. So I think there's a lot. And I think the number one thing, kind of to your point, that we as an industry can do is we got to bring people back, and we got to entice this next generation of event professionals to join our industry. It is such a cool industry. I mean, we at Lasso, we lead with it, because we're like, you know, our customers do cool things. They produce the Oscars, the Grammys, the NFL, the MLB, like all the big conferences, like all your favorite music artists. I'm pretty sure they were produced on our platform, you know, so it's cool to be able to lead with those things. And I think those of us that are in it, we just take that for granted how cool it is. And so I think when we can talk about it more, we can pull this next generation in. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, because we got a do-over. And I'm just going to say it, probably going to get clobbered for it, but I think our industry had a lot of really bad habits, a lot of things that they needed to change. and do differently to make their lives easier, their employees' lives easier, their customers' lives easier, and the consumer experience better. And so my hope is we don't go back to the bad habits, but instead continue moving forward and do everything we can to entice people to join all the cool stuff we get to do.
I think you're in good company. A lot of people have been talking to me about that it was a opportunity for reset and to take stock of some of those, what you call bad habits. Absolutely. Yeah. And those who are not taking stock and looking at that have missed opportunities to improve and change and morph and all the things that COVID allowed us to do.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned Lasso. You're one of the founders. You're in event execution specifically, which is you're unique in that you're, I think, my first guest specifically in this space. So will you talk about Lasso and for those who don't know what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lasso was created to solve the problem that most event companies have, meaning not having good tools. Most events, you know, they were produced on Excel spreadsheets, which is crazy to me. You know, when you show up to an NFL game and to think, wow, all of this happened on an Excel spreadsheet. So again, not a lot of tools are entered into the event industry. And so we created the platform. We call it the People Platform for the live events and entertainment industry. It's all things related to people, everything from helping our customers who are the event companies, the production, the event staffing, anybody who touches the event. It's all about resources, right? And making sure you have the right people in the right slots doing the right things. And so our platform really addresses everything from helping them build their talent bench all the way to crewing events, tracking time, booking people's travel, getting it to payroll, communicating the thousands of logistical pieces of information that you got to get to the people who are doing the load in versus running the show. There's so many different moving components. And so we try to centralize that for these companies. And then when they run out of talent, because again, there's a massive shortage, Lasso happened to be in the right place at the right time. So even prior to COVID, we launched our crew marketplace, which we reserve exclusively for our platform customers to allow them to tap into our talent pool of the top 25 production positions across the top 25 markets in the US. So when they run into that shortage and say, hey, we've got a load in tomorrow and we need 20 stagehands in LA and we need 4 camera operators and a V1 and those sorts of things, they can press a button in our technology and tap into our talent pool. So we are both a software as a service as well as a workforce as a service.
Wow, amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a fun ride doing really cool stuff in this industry.
Yes, this is such a needed piece, and you are truly, absolutely behind the scenes. And while I ask a lot of my guests, what are some in front of the scene disasters you can talk about? I'm going to ask if you have a behind the scenes disaster story you could share.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, it's just common, right? It's just, these are things that happen. So there's everything from the wrong gear showing up at the wrong show to the truck. You know, you're supposed to be able to get into the room at 7 a.m. So you've got 100 people there ready to help you load in the show, set it up, test the equipment, do all of that. 100 people are there ready to go. Truck says they're going to be there. And you're now waiting 3 hours later. Truck's still not there. You're paying wages for 100 people standing around. And most importantly, you now have 3 hours less to put the show together, right? Because at the end of the day, the show always goes on, no matter what. That's what's amazing about our industry. They are so committed to making it happen, come hell or high water, it's going to happen. And again, we show up for the event, we have no idea the chaos that has ensued the past 24 to 48 hours. So that's a common one. They think they can get into the room, but whoops, they're not ready for you. So now yet again, you're waiting. And again, the time crunch, you have a compressed timeline to get those things done. So there's all sorts of those things that happen. But again, at the end of the day, show goes on.
The show goes on. Absolutely. I've been there many, many, yes. many times.
Even standing in the dark with a flashlight on your face, the show.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of chaos, right? It is constant chaos. And then your thought of that, it's the easiest part is the show, because that's when you're in the back breathing, is 100% true.
Yeah.
And now you also have a podcast. It is called, guess what? Corralling the Chaos.
Yeah. So Corralling the Chaos, it's what we all do well in this industry, right? We have to learn how to deal in organized chaos, as I like to call it sometimes, right? Like in our event, our industry is so full of things that are just by very nature, they're complicated. But I think what our industry has done to itself is we've made the things that don't need to be complicated, complicated, right? And it's chaotic. And part of it is just because there's not a lot of investment dollars in our industry. So they're forced to produce an entire event on Excel spreadsheet. That alone is chaotic. So we talk about everything from the us versus them mentality, right? There's this huge disconnect between the companies producing the event and the crew that they're hiring to do it. Many times, you know, these companies are forced to go to new venues they've never produced in, new customers, right? Like most of our customers have changed, right? There's been a lot of that chaos, even within their customer base. And you've got a group of 100 people who've probably never worked together before to show up, to put things together in a specific venue that maybe they've never worked in before. Every company's different because these are mobile contingent workers. They're freelancers, right? They work for lots of different companies. So they don't show up and do the same thing for every show. It's different. And so being able to communicate all those last minute changes, first of all, how am I going to find 100 people who know how to run our equipment, who are reliable, who've worked events before, who are professional, who can maybe be customer facing to mic up Bill Gates if needed, right? You're looking at all these nuances.
Right.
It's never about warm bodies. And when you're trying to match people, that is certainly more of an art than a science. And so it's hard to do those things. And then when you've got crew call times that change all the time, attire that's going to change. Again, the truck showing up late, don't show up at 7, show up at 10. Instead of going into this room, we're going to put you in this ballroom instead. You know, all of those things are changing all the time. And how do you communicate it to 100 people, right? Some are traveling in, some aren't, some are on their phone, some like email, some like text, some just they're not going to answer their phone. And so when you're in the middle of that, trying to coordinate it, you're like, man, fingers crossed. I really hope all 100 people know we moved the call time. We need them to show up earlier. We need them to wear the white shirt, not the black shirt. We need them to go in this room, park in this place, meet with this person. There's so many different moving pieces. And so when you're talking about human relationships, right? And how do you get these people to show up to work with your common mission, because you as the company are tasked with producing this, there's a lot that can happen, and it's chaotic and it's really stressful. And so we dig into things like that. We dig into things like how companies are selling these shows, the education they need to do on the front end to better educate. How do we attract better people to our industry? How do we set expectations? How can we make freelancers feel a part of that company, right? During the time that they're working with them. So they're not made to feel like they're on the outside, just a freelancer, but how do you engage them and really bring them into the fold of your company? So there's all sorts of things that we really dive into, but our audience is really focused on both the people helping to execute the events as well as the companies executing.
That sounds awesome. I look forward to listening. We'll put a link in the show notes to Corralling the Chaos, and where can people find it other than in the show notes, the typical podcast, all the places where you can find, speaking of events, you can find Corralling the Chaos as well. These are huge. You're talking about huge events. You were talking about music artists, NFL, the big things that are gigantic revenue drivers. You're right, to the towns, to the cities, and to the individuals supporting these events. So why isn't there more investment dollars in this part of the industry?
Well, I think that kind of falls into a number of things. Our industry, this baffles me. We don't even have our own SIC code or NAICS code.
Yes.
Baffles me. Like, we're not even established as a standalone industry, right? We're just now starting to get lobbyists. There's an organization that I encourage all of you to check out called Live Events Coalition. They've really worked very hard to put our industry on the map. And it's going to take all of us again. I know I've said that a few times, but it really does take all of us pushing the agenda and really making sure we are seen and heard. It would have been great if we were seen and heard before COVID. But I think all of us after COVID have kind of really understood the true importance of that to make sure that we get investment dollars. And I think it's really hard to explain what we do. I mean, I don't know about all of you, but if a friend asked me, what do? I'm kind of stuck, right? Because it's like, well, you can get really technical, right? For those of you in technical positions, right? It's just so hard to understand what it really takes to produce these events. And so investors, a lot of times, again, they're consumers. The VC community, there's just not a lot of investment because I think our industry is really misunderstood and we haven't done a good job really tooting our own horn.
Well, I'm here to toot it with you loud and proud for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, thank you for sharing that. I want to switch gears and talk about you a sure. little bit. And you grew up in Florida and you had a bit of a journey to get here to Lasso, to this industry. Would you tell us how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, from Florida, live in Atlanta now in a suburb outside of Atlanta called Alpharetta. I feel like this is home now. I've been here for, 25 years. So a long time. But yeah, my journey to events, I've always kind of been in revenue producing roles, whether directly in sales or consulting roles. And one of my clients was in this industry and consulted with them. They were one of the first to kind of switch from 1099s to W-2s, which at that time was unheard of, but it's definitely the commonplace now.
It is, indeed.
So it was more of a pioneer in the industry, mid-sized production company. And I'm a very curious person by nature. I ask lots of questions because I'm always trying to learn. And the more I learned about his company and the industry, the more fascinated I was by how, because again, I kind of saw behind the curtain through the eyes of this company. I was like, holy cow, how do you guys pull this off? I couldn't quite piece it together. And so after many months of just working with that company, he said, you know, our industry, like there's nothing out there to help companies like mine. Let's go build something. Let's go do it. And so we spent the first 2 years meeting with lots of event companies, asking lots of questions before we wrote our first line of code. And so I've never looked back. I've never wanted to be a part of any other industry because the more I ask and the more I dig, the more fascinated I am by what it takes.
And you're still learning, I assume?
Always. Absolutely. Yeah. And in the face of events looks very different. You know, the capabilities is changing all the time and evolving, which I think is super cool too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. What do you see coming? Any crystal ball thoughts for you of what do you see coming? I loved your thought. Yes, right. If only we had a crystal ball.
I mean, here's what I hope. And this is what I start to see coming together. I see a lot of new people entering and I see, an application of business on top of our industry. Whereas I think before it was full of a lot of creatives, and which is fantastic, but I think you have to mirror running a business with executing an event. A lot of people know how to execute an event, but they didn't know how to monetize it or really run the business. And I see that kind of shifting, which is, I think, great, because guess what? I think they're going to be able to, again, go after getting investment dollars, really understanding how to capitalize it, how to educate customers on what it takes to produce an event. So I see a lot of that happening. I think a lot of people who had been in the industry for many years left. And so I think having some fresh perspectives join is a really good opportunity for our industry. We've lost so much knowledge that stings to lose that. But I think there's some new perspectives coming in. And so I think the face of our industry is already beginning to look a little bit different.
Wow. Thank you. Yes. How inspiring. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, Angela, are you ready for the light, I think, for okay. the Lightning Express round. Okay. You're scared. Good. Okay. I'm like scared. Yeah, that's what I want in a guest. Nice yes. and
a little
scared.
Dose. Yeah, it's right. a healthy dose of fear.
A healthy dose of fear. All right. We're going to put right. 45 seconds on the clock. We've got right. 7 questions. Here we go. What is your favorite event that you've ever been a part of?
I can't pick. I'm taking the wuss route. I can't pick. There's too many.
Okay, that's fine. The coolest thing was, for those listening and not watching, is what your eyes did while you were thinking of that question. It was literally like a trait, like you saw the journey on I your did. Face go from one side of the like world flashback. To the other. It was okay. amazing. That was yeah. that was the perfect answer in my opinion. Okay, number 2, who do you consider your mentor?
There's so many. There's women in my life that I think are a mentor just by being a woman who has a career. There's moms in my life who mentor me on just motherhood. There's business people who mentor me on business. There's people who mentor me on my faith. So it's not just one. I go to different people for different things. And I think that's important to have a lot of mentors around you.
Absolutely. I'm very much from the school of surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. And absolutely wonderful. What is your favorite podcast other than Speaking of Events and Corralling the Chaos?
I've really been focused lately on Rev Genius. It's a very good one. It's full of revenue professionals who are focused on, you know, building revenue. And that's part of what I'm tasked with here in my role. And so I'm always thinking of pricing models, go to market. You know, how do you get more? Because the way people buy, it changes, I feel like, every single year. So staying on top of those oh, yeah. things is important to
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. You are a Rev Genius, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, number 4. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Well, I'm fortunate that I'm married to a personal trainer. Oh. Or I could say unfortunate to stay
I'm
married.
Very fortunate.
Trainer, depending on how we look at that.
Right. I can see how that would be.
But we did decide that I preferred to have him as my husband than my personal trainer. So I found Pilates. And Pilates to me just feeds my soul. I've loved it so much. So that's what I'm into.
I went on 2 dates with a personal trainer once. His name was Johan. Anyway, moving on. Number 5.
For another time.
A nice memory back for me. Thanks. Thanks, Johan. Okay. Number 5. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Talking to one of our employees. I feel like I'm always talking to our employees, which I love.
Oh, good. Oh, good. You mentioned this a couple times. So number 6, what is your favorite NFL team?
The Falcons, for sure.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, yes. In Atlanta, it's got to be the Falcons. And, you know, my son would be devastated if I didn't say that. So right. Falcons,
okay.
for sure.
Okay. Now we can listen to this episode. Great.
Yes.
And number 7, final question. What is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think respect. That's the word that comes to my mind. Is just respecting the role they're in, the job they're tasked with, the stress level of it, and just having empathy and respect for what they bring to the table day in and day out.
Absolutely. Well said. Congratulations. You have lived through the Lightning Yay. Express round. Yay. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. See, nothing, not much to be nervous about.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Angela, Alea, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, I'm most active on LinkedIn, Angela Alea. And then also you can reach out to me on my email, angela.alea, which is A-L-E-A at lasso.io.
Lasso. Does it do other, I'm making the lasso.
Yes.
Physical thing. What is it? One of my, I was going to say the physical sign, but you know, I'm pretending yes. I'm doing a lasso.
Circling like the lasso more. Over your head.
That's right. That's right. When you said lasso. Absolutely. Thank you, Angela Alea. We'll put your contact information in the show notes so people can find you. I highly recommend you connect. This is a different area of events than we've talked about and explored before on the podcast, and one very much worth checking out for sure. So thank you for sharing your time, insights, genius,
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. And thank you for what you're doing to kind of spread the word as well. This has been great. So thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. As I said, we're tooting the horn loudly, both of us in different ways. So thank you again, Angela. Thank you to our audience for listening. So much good stuff in today's episode. And remember that if you like events, if you love events like we do, and even if you loathe events, we won't judge. Also tell somebody about this podcast. Give us some stars. Tell us how fantastic this listen was. Thank you again, Angela, for your time today. And remember, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Till next time.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovationed.